Blueprint. Log Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project.
Your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom.
Good evening. Tonight's show is titled The Blueprint with author Treasure Blue. And he's welcoming author Candy Rain to class tonight. As we know, Treasure Blue is the schooler, the teacher, the ruler of urban fiction. And tonight he is going to lay the blueprint down for Candy Rain. But before the show starts, I'd like to give a short intro about Miss Rain. She was raised as a Navy brat from the age of 10. She moved from Lemoore, California to San Diego, California. And from there, she moved to Norfolk, Virginia. As an adult, she moved to Pascagoula. Now, honey, that's in the South. That's deep. Pascagoula, Mississippi, where she currently lives. Candy Rain is married, has three wonderful children. She dedicates her life to making sure that they are happy, and because of her, family is the number one blessing from the Lord. She thanks the Lord for everything that he has brought her to the point where she is because she is passionate about life and fulfilling dreams. Candy Rain has dreamt of becoming a published author as long as she can remember. With having a very vivid imagination, she is always thinking of plots and characters. Now, with the help of Glenda Wallace and Pink Kiss Publishing, she is fulfilling this dream. She now has two books available on Amazon where other books are sold. The title of these books are Concrete Rose, that dropped in May of 2014, and her baby, her first book, Tego Webb, which dropped January 2013. Tego Webb is about a young girl named Keisha. Keisha thought she had survived her worst nightmare when she was raped in broad daylight outside her home, only to discover that the trauma from the incident is not so easily put aside. Her sister, Ciesha, is pregnant by her best friend's man, which causes a huge rift between the two friends. Yes, thank you. Revenge is definitely a dish best served cold when I'm gonna say her name is Coraya. Finds out that her man intends to marry the mother of his child. She exacts the perfect payback that will hit the couple where it hurts the most. Tango Web is filled with drama, deceit, and jealousy that is sure to have you wondering what happens next. Because I know I want to know what's happening next, because, honey, that's a whole lot of messiness. One of her five-star reviews, which she has four five-star reviews on this, Tango Web, what a web that was weaved. Yes, I'm not making that up. That's really part of the review. With Traitorous Lies, and I think that was supposed to be treacherous, I'm assuming, lies, and so much deceit. This book will slowly but surely weave you in. Keisha tries to be a loyal sister to Ciesha, but also wanting to be a good friend to her best friend, Karaya. That's a serious situation right there. Who she loves like a sister. The trouble between Ciesha and Karaya goes so deep that it will have devastating effects. And Dante, who can't get enough of either of them, chest like a man, will be the cause of so much drama between them, as well as Zelia, who is also madly in love or lust with him. Will Dante ever learn to control his cheating ways? Probably not. This book is truly amassed with a tangled web that you won't want to put it down. An exceptionally well done dramatic read with Candy Rain. That's why she has earned a well-deserved 5 stars from me. And that is a certified buyer of paperback format. And the reviewer's name is Lover of Romance. So we're going to bring in Miss Candy Rain while we wait for Treasure Blue. And let her tell us about Concrete Rose. That which we just said came out in May 2014. Hi, Miss Candy Rain.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you? You know every time we try to make something happen, something happens.
Yeah, we made it this time, though.
I know, but now we wait for that treasure. So, but in the meantime, I'm here. So, I want you to tell the readers about Concrete Rose. But before you do, you know, my schedule gets really hectic, and my first love, which will be reading, gets pushed to the back burner. I don't know how many authors get the chance to read, but that the first book, Tangled Web, I've got to know. Where did that come from? That is a whole lot of messiness.
Oh, actually, I kind of just made it all up. I kind of have a creative mind, and instead of going out and getting into trouble, I just put it all into writing. And anything I think up, that was actually my first book, Tangled Web. So I kind of just wanted to go all out with it and see what I could come up with, and that was it. So none of it is actually a true, actual story about anybody?
None of it, Candy.
None.
Okay. No. Then I'm gonna have to sit down and have a talk with your family members, because that creative mind of yours is to the left. You hear me?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Who tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Look, you know our characters do come to us, and you know out of the clear blue sky like ghosts." But if that was a ghost, I want to know who was the living person behind it, because that right there. It's a mess. That's the most scandal stuff.
No actual living people behind any of it. I watch a lot of TV and movies and stuff, and I just kind of create
scenarios.
Yeah.
Okay. So now tell the readers, now that we got that out there, because I needed it now. And I didn't want to have to wait. I probably forgot anyway, but now I'll tell the readers about your sophomore book, but also explain to them the experience that you got between these books, and where do you think your growth lies?
Actually, I was pretty much just getting feedback from the first one when I really started on this second one, so I don't really know if there's a whole lot of actual writing growth, but between the next one that I wrote, there's actually a lot of growth. I submitted my third book to my publisher, and she said, looking at that one, she sees a lot of growth. So according to her, there was a lot of growth between the second and third book.
Okay. Do you think does she mention where? Like, a lot of us get more creative with creating the ambiance. You know what I mean? Then there's some people who are really strong in characters. You know what I mean? Or descriptions, or bringing out a character that nobody's read before. You know what I mean? Did she mention like where your strength lies?
She really just said it in general, but I think she was speaking of writing style overall, the way I put things together and whatnot.
Okay.
Say that again.
I said that's a blessing. That's even more growth when, you know what I mean, when somebody says, no, honey, not just this and this and this, but your pen as a whole has grown. That's got to be a
yes.
really great feeling. Yeah.
And as far as there was, like, more subject matter and whatnot in the story, I actually did put a whole lot, like, actually into that. And there's actually kind of personal experience behind it. So I think that might have had a lot to do with the growth. It's pretty much about mental illnesses. And I have anxiety and depression, and my daughter has ADHD. So I wanted to write a book about explaining mental illnesses and whatnot. So I actually put a lot into that one.
And I think that's needed because I have my bouts of ADHD, and I have, but it stems from something totally different, sleep deprivation, because I have narcolepsy and I have sleep apnea. So when people don't understand, the lack of anything can cause a reaction in your body where
right.
mental health issues develop. And it don't have to be abuse. And, you know, people want to associate everything with abuse, but my lack of sleep has me where I can't stay tuned, you know what I mean? Or I can't,
yes.
it's a lot for me to sit down and stay on one topic. You'll see. But this is the new book that you're writing, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to leak a title?
It's going to be called Incarcerated Minds. And there's actually three stories in there about different illnesses that
I
wrote
like
about. And I, you know, did research and put quite a bit of research into it also.
Incarcerated Minds.
Yes.
I like Myself.
Yes, it's pretty much telling about the stigma of mental illnesses, and the moral of the stories are pretty much saying that you can't put a person into this category because they have this illness and say that they can't do this or that. So that's
right.
why it's called Incarcerated Minds, because of the way that people think that they put them in separate little boxes, little categories.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I get it. I like it. It's very, it draws you in.
Yes.
It speaks for itself, too, so. Now, but tell us about Concrete Rose.
Okay, Concrete Rose is about, it's actually about a teenage girl. She's 16. Her name is Lane Kenya. And, well, before the beginning of the story, they lived in Africa. She lived in Africa with her parents and her brother. And she's betrothed to be married to a boy. And they also live out there. They moved to the United States. And upon them graduating, they're supposed to get married. And the parents of the boy are supposed to give the parents of the girl a large sum of money so that they can expand the mother's business. And the story pretty much goes along with both of them really experiencing life in the United States and how it's different because we don't really do the betrothed thing. We people pretty much pick whoever they want to marry. So they kind of grow into that lifestyle, and they need to figure out what they want to do. Pretty much mostly the girl needs to figure out what she wants to do because the boy already has it planned out. He's very demanding, and he knows that he wants to take her back to Africa and get married and whatnot so that he can pretty much control her better over there, because over there in Africa, he's pretty much the it person. So,
okay. Now, is this culturally based? Is this something that happens a lot in Africa, or is this something that you just kind of made up for this story?
I actually did some research, and in areas over there, they actually do the thing where they betroth and they marry that way. So I actually did research to see where they actually did that at to get that part of the story. And pretty much the attitudes and whatnot of the characters, I pretty much made that up. But, I mean, there's, as far as some of the customs and whatnot, I did a little research and I put quite a bit of that stuff actually in the story. Now, for instance, babies there, when they're born, they have a name that they give them, which is temporary. And then about a year later, they have like a coming out party with the baby and whatnot, and that's when they actually give the baby the name. And I actually, I had Lane Kenya explaining to a friend of hers in there, like how that went and what her name was and what they actually changed it to and whatnot. So little facts like that, I kind of included a few of those in there, pretty much how their culture actually is.
So, wow, that's strange. Why would you give a child a name and call it Zimbabwe and then change it up?
It's pretty much, I think it's no longer than a year, which is quite a bit of time actually still. But yeah, that's fact. I actually researched that. That's actually how they do it.
But where did the concept for that come from? Like, I mean, you come up with these storylines and these plots that are like very different, and people want to believe that urban fiction is just one big ball of smack a hole and smoke crack, and you understand that there's no substance in African Americans' writings today. You know what I mean? And you seem to have really cornered the market on coming up with a very different storyline. And how did you think Concrete Rose is going to be accepted under the genre of urban fiction, or is it under a different genre?
I pretty much put it out under urban fiction because that's what I put the last book out under. And like I said, with the last book, it was pretty much, I was going to see how wild I could get with the first book. With this book here, I kind of do want to bring something more to urban fiction, because when I think of like the different themes and whatnot that I think of, it's, you know, I just, all my subjects are kind of totally different. And I have a lot of people yes. telling me that they want a part two for Tangled Web. And it's like I've got so many other ideas, and it's kind of hard for me to go back and write on that subject again because I got so many other ideas and not a whole lot of time. So you
do not believe in series?
I definitely do, and that's kind of the thing. I actually would like to, and there was actually a couple of different, I guess, add-ons, whatever you call it, continuances that I was thinking
right.
I could actually do with Tangled Web, but then I kind of want to write on something different. So
you think you could blend because of the troubles from Tangled Web, being a victim, you know what I mean, to Concrete Rose, do you think you could blend those books?
What do you mean?
Know some people pull the character, the Kenya, to kind of bringing her to where the girl is in Tangled Web. You understand? Like a meetup for Keisha and the Kenyan.
You're saying so far as like having two of the characters from both of the books meet?
Like blend into one book. You know, you write Tangled Web, and you wrote that, 2013, right?
Uh-huh.
And a little less than a year later, you bring Lakenyu in, right?
Uh-huh.
They both have a lot of things going on in their worlds, you know what I mean? But
yes.
People forget we're women first, and we're
mm-hmm.
so alike. I think that's where haters come from and, you know, messy cat fights between women when they realize that we are so much alike. Do you think
yeah.
you could blend the two worlds? Do you think you could create one book? And one book, two worlds. I'm just shooting that.
Yeah. I never actually thought about it, but yeah. I think the two characters from those two books, I think they would blend really well, actually.
Nice,
I never
right?
actually
I,
thought
you know,
about doing that, though.
Yeah, the more that you elaborated on, you know, I do marketing. I have been marketing everything. I just think marketing all the time. So, but I'm like, the more you talk about Concrete Rose, and then that your readers want more of Tangled Web, I'm like, I bet you she could blend these two worlds together. I would like to see how you would bring these two girls together. You know what I mean? Where they end up being friends, or you know, I wouldn't want them to be enemies. I think I would like them to. But you can't write this lady's book, but I would like to see them as friends. I would like to see them be shoulders for each other.
Yeah, that book would actually be pretty good. That's something I never thought about before.
Think about it, girl, because you don't have a sequel to them, right?
Right.
So because you don't
have the ending of the stories, I'm not going to give them away, but the ending of the stories are actually, their situations end up vaguely kind of similar.
See?
So I think they would actually be able to relate very well to one another.
That's what I got. And I'm like, well, and then I'm thinking about you saying your limited time and you would like to write that. You know what I mean? And I think
mm-hmm.
I think Lakenya would bring Keisha back to life. I think pulling Concrete Rose's character into pulling her though, her character, her situation, and her into tangled web and not the other way. When liven yourselves back up and tangled web. Now you done blended two books, right? And brought them both back. And then
that sounds interesting.
All right. I want my cut. My pants are set. No, just kidding. But I really like the concepts behind your books. I'd really like to know, is there victory? Because one of them got that. It's some victory. And you know what I mean? In the ending of their book, there's got to be some victory. I'm mad because I don't really have reading time. You understand? But with that said, will you have LaKenya or Keisha's story available on audio? Have you ever thought of that?
Audio. I haven't really looked into that. I could talk to my publisher about it because I have them on Kindle. Yeah, they're on Kindle and they're available in paperback. I haven't really looked into audio.
I think you should. I think people would like to hear the story being read. You know what I mean? I know that Amazon, when you talk to your publisher, I know that Amazon offers that service where you can go up on their that section of Amazon that does the audio, and you can listen to some of the readers. I like Kerry White, Carey, a gentleman who reads so well. I mean, it don't matter if the character's a woman, a female, foreign, his diction and the conviction when he reads is off the chain. But I would really like to hear those books come to life. So maybe you should look into that. You should look into doing some audio books. Some people like to pay people privately and just go into the studio where you can catch 100% of your profit too. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And offer it as a something that they would have to obtain from your publisher's website or something that you would sell on your website or something like that where you don't need the middleman because the book is already done. All you need is the audio. And a lot of people now are buying into services that you can talk over the phone and do readings, and they come back to you as an MP3. So maybe it's something that you should look into, because this is not just for Let's Talk Urban. You know what I mean? I'm not just saying this as hosting a show. You know what I mean? I really would like to see that come to life. I can almost picture.
I'm going to look into that.
Now, have you ever put out, I see that that Concrete Rose has a picture of look like an everyday young black woman, you know? Besides this, Tangled Web is more of a clouded, you know, cover where you really can't see who she is. Have you ever put out like promo, promotional stuff on Facebook where the true depiction of her looks are put up, Keisha?
I actually had a trailer made for the book, and it shows the three main character ladies in the story.
I'm gonna have to go look at it because I'm want to know now what Keisha looks like. It's piqued my curiosity just having this conversation. Because when you start, when you're in your midst of talking, I'm in Amazon and I am like, going back and forth between the two books. That's why I made the suggestion that I made. But what's her name? Concrete Rose McKenna. She's so real on this cover. You know what I mean? That's what made me want to kind of know what Keisha looks like. Could you give a description of Keisha for the readers? Just bring her to life, because for those interested in Keisha.
Well, when I run her character, I kind of made her actually look kind of basic. Like, I mean, she has like a style about her. She dresses cute, but her face, she pretty much, what's the word I'm looking for? Basic body type. Not really small, but not really big.
Like an average.
Yes. That's what I was kind of going at for her character, because the way that she was, she pretty much liked to live her life simple and not with a lot of mess, but the way that her life went about, it just, she got thrown into a lot of mess with the rape and everything her sister was doing and everything her best friend was going through and everything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, other than that, she, like, kind of liked to live a really basic, like, lifestyle. Not really, so to speak, boring, but just basic. Like, she didn't really like to do a whole lot.
Right.
Like, she would go out and party, like, every now and then, and have a drink, like, every now and then, but not, like, all the time.
Right.
And not really, like, act, like, really wild, like her sister. Her sister, Ciesha, she is really wild.
Okay.
So they were, the two sisters, they were pretty much, like, day and night.
Right.
Like, very opposite.
Okay. Is there anything else new in that's going to leak out of that pen of yours after this third book?
I'm actually thinking on some different ideas. Like, I don't really know what I want to do next, actually.
Okay.
But I was kind of trying to, because I just sent this last book over to the publisher, and I wanted to kind of see where we're going with it. As far as the editing goes, she said it looks pretty good, and editing should be done pretty soon. So and I talked to the lady that does the cover art, Donna Osborne Clark. She does the cover art and come together with exactly what we're going to do for the cover.
Okay.
And then after we get the cover done and you know, she does it all up and I okay it and everything, then she'll start the promotion on Facebook and whatnot for it. So I was kind of trying to wait for all that to get done before I actually started digging deep into starting to write the next book.
Okay. Now, with this third book, your junior book dropping, do you have a lot of say on the cover of this book with your publishing company? Do they allow your creative mind to flow, or do they more so say, hey, we got you?
Yes, definitely. The lady, my publisher, she pretty much has Donna Osborne Clark do, like, all of her cover art, and we talk to Donna, and we tell her, you know, what we want, and she pretty much goes and gets it and puts it together. With the first book, I didn't really know a whole lot of what I wanted, and I was telling her about the book, and she kind of mostly came up with that, and she showed it to me, and I liked it a lot, so we went with that. With Concrete Rose, I kind of told her, like, a lot more of what I actually wanted. Because the girl in Kenya, she does braids, and she braids her hair. So that's why I asked her to find pretty much a girl with some really nice braids in her hair. And I wanted the colorful rose. And along with coming up with the colorful rose, she actually, did the lettering in different color, which I thought was really neat. I didn't ask her to do that, but she came up with it, and I thought it was really neat. So, yeah, there's, I have a lot of creative control over what I want her to do with the cover. She'll pretty much let her know what I want, and she'll bring it up and bring it back, and it looks really good.
Why did you choose a publisher the second go around when you're probably a lot more knowledgeable than you were the first time around? Why would you choose a publisher now in your junior book when you probably could have did it your last book? You probably could have put out your last book, but why not self-publish?
I'm actually not really very knowledgeable about self-publishing, actually. I had been looking into a few books that tell about it, and I was going to actually look into it, but I didn't. And I've been told by a lot of people that it is a better way to go because you have, like, pretty much all of your creative control and you get all of your profits and whatnot. It is something that I need to look into, but honestly, I've pretty much been all over the place on my job. I work for the shipyard, doing that full time, and I just haven't actually gotten into doing all the research that I need to do to know exactly what to do with it and whatnot.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Do you think you will ever jump into that end of the business? Or will you continue to be a self-published author?
I would actually like to look into it. I might probably get like a couple of more books just published before I actually look into it, because I honestly haven't looked a whole lot into it to see what actually all the pros and cons are. So, just to answer the question, in the future, I definitely would like to look into it.
Okay. We have to pay some bills. And tonight's sponsor for Candy Rain Show is Drika Armstrong. And Frederica is her first full name. Used to be our host on Books and Bullshit. And she's supposed to be coming back in April to do four shows to introduce her latest project. Her latest project is called His Dying Wish. She is bringing the pain, and she is bringing it live. She's bringing it to film, I'm sorry. And I'd like for you guys to take the time out and to go to Drika Armstrong's Facebook page and comment on her trailer, His Dying Wish. And she has a couple of other trailers up there that are pretty funny. And if anybody knows Drika Armstrong, you know that they are. She's one big comedian. But this here film, this is not a joke. And I hate to get really serious, but it's truly not a joke. This is a dream, and she's looking for dream makers. She's looking for people to back her program. Now, I know a lot of people put out GoFundMes and beg for money, and but they're asking for money and doing nothing. But Jerika Armstrong is producing a product, and she's offering product placement film, and she's also offering sponsorship packages. You can log on to her Facebook page and check it out. And thank you for she's thanking everyone in advance. Again, that's Jerika Armstrong, and she's putting together a film called His Dying Wish. She's like literally in the shooting of this, and you'll be able to catch a few scenes of His Dying Wish. And you think Concrete Rose was something to talk about, and Tangled Web. Jerika's not far behind, and the summary of this movie is a man dies, super wealthy, and he leaves in his will that in order for his wife to receive her inheritance, which is a whooping lot of money, she has to let his mistress live in the house with her for a year. So you guys go on over to Jerika Armstrong's Facebook page and check it out. Okay, Ms. Candivane, let's talk about your name. Is it real? Or is it Memorex? No. Is it real? Is this your real name, Candy?
No, my real name is actually Angela Henry.
Where'd Candy Rain come from?
It was a name that I pretty much made up along the way. I actually, when I first started writing, I made the name, and I say that it means the sweetness of a struggle, because while you're pretty much, you have to struggle and work for to get the best that you can actually have. And God's been blessing me as the harder that I work, the more that I get blessed. So that's where the name came from. And
he's good, eh?
Why I chose it and what I chose for it to symbolize.
Okay. He's a good guy. God, he is awesome.
Yes.
And, yeah, he really is. I mean, I think people, when they get to that place, when they can really say, like, no, really, he's really awesome, and he knew from experience, it's the best place to be, the best place to be. So with that said, with your many blessings, what do you do professionally? Do you write full-time, or what is it that you do full-time?
Full-time, I actually work at a shipyard down here in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I work for Huntington Ingalls.
Okay. Now, say the name again. Pascagoula?
Pascagoula.
I have never heard
of it. It's all the way down south.
Yes, it is, honey, because I was like, I have never heard of that. And it's different only because you are a service rat, you know what I mean? And it's usually like Groton, Connecticut, you know, all the bases are usually.
It's right near, have you ever heard of Biloxi, Mississippi?
Yes.
It's right near Biloxi. It's like one county over to the east of Biloxi.
Now, because it's so deep in the south, is it hard to get people to show up for author events? Does the libraries down in the South, deep South, do they support black authors? Because it's really hard. I have somebody who is in Alabama, you know, and then I have somebody that I do publicity for, and she lives in Arkansas. And I'm really learning that the support for black authors is scarce unless you create it for yourself. Now, how do you get the shine that you need in your hometown?
Actually, just pretty much working at the shipyard itself, that's pretty much the biggest outlet, the biggest, I guess you could say, money maker, like in this town, is the shipyard. So, and that's a pretty big community. As far as this area, over to Mobile, Alabama, we have a lot of people from there that work at the shipyard. And going in there and just spreading the word, and then, you know, each of those people, they all know people out in town. So as far as down here in my community, at the shipyard, see, the way they work is they move you around a lot, so everybody's mixing and mingling because they move people a whole lot to okay. different crews and whatnot. So I pretty yeah. much mix and mingle with a lot of people and let them know about the books, pass out cards and whatnot. They buy books, and then people out in town, they buy books. And other than that, I go to about two or three book festivals a year. Okay. Yeah, I've been to Houston, St. Louis.
I love the Houston. They're having it this year in when? September? Their book fair is pretty large. What's the turnout? I mean, it's always advertised a lot, and it's talked about a lot. I've never been. How is the turnout for the Houston book fair?
Oh, it's great. A lot of people come through there. A lot of book clubs. That's what I've noticed about a lot of these book festivals that I go to. A lot of the they get their book clubs in the area to come out. And if you could get, even if they don't buy a book right then, if you just pass out the card, they'll eventually order a book. They have the card they look at. They pretty much look at their stuff they have, and they order what they're interested in for everybody to read. And they do reviews. I've gotten a few of my reviews that way.
Well, so that's great. So you don't even have to really you just need to show up and show out, basically. And be ready with your promo and be ready to hand out book marks and samples or whatever and giveaways. Now, are you talking about Houston, Texas National Black Book Festival?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they had a pretty good turnout.
I see. I'm looking at the site now, and they're featuring this year Quan. He's just a loving, he's just a dude that everybody loves. They're doing, he really is. Rashonda Tate Billingsley, she's always around. Mary Monroe, I've never met her. God Don't Like Ugly? Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
And Dwayne Alexander Smith. I see that they have a lot of strong names up here for 2015. So, have you ever attended the Harlem Book Fair?
No. Where's that one at?
Oh, my shame on you. Did you say no, Candy?
Where's it at?
Harlem, New York. It's in Manhattan. In New York.
Yeah, see, I'm all the way down here. See,
Girl, you better.
I kind of struggle to get to the places that I go to, but I wanna go up that way to some festivals. They've got one in Baltimore. They do that. I've been looking at.
Very strong. That's a very strong fair. Harlem Book Fair is very strong. During the July, during the summer months, there are a lot of book fairs that, you know, get a lot of coming out, you know what I mean, because it's in the summertime, and strong readers, passerby, because Harlem Book Fair is in a place where it'll get stumbled upon, you know what I mean? You could be walking by, like, oh, you know, but it's been, I think this is their 14th year. This is the 14th year, so you know. Any kind of fair that's been around for that long, you're going to get a turnout. People are bound to know by now, you know what I mean?
It's kind of hard for me to get, like, that far up north, because I pretty much, I save, like, for, like, 6 or 7 months when I do my traveling, and then I also have to take time off work. If I have vacation at the time, I use it, or I might just have to, like, take 1 or 2 days, like, off of work. So I got to work all that in when I actually, when I travel.
You gotta factor in travel time.
Yeah, right.
You're so right. But
I definitely do want to get up north and go to. There's been quite a few of them I've been seeing online and whatnot that look really good up there.
Yeah, and there. But you know what's bad for people like yourself that have to really do serious travels and get up here, they're so close together in dates, it does not give the author the opportunity, and the reader, you know what I mean? Because readers travel too, you know, the opportunity to save and come again. You understand? Like, they have the Harlem Book Fair. It's in July, right? Then they have another one in August, and it's in Brooklyn, I think, and it's a really big Queens, and it's a very big book fair. But how do you, you know what I mean? How do you get your coins together to see to come back later? You know what I mean? It gets kind of hard. So I can understand how you're mapping yours out to be, you know, book fairs that have a nice little gap in the times. You know, I think the book fairs are getting stronger too, Candy, because all of the black bookstores are closing down. You know what I mean? And there's not a lot of opportunity for authors to meet their readers, and vice versa. Especially if you don't have a strong book club of three or more readers in your book club. It's hard for an author to travel to do a meet and greet with two people. You know what I mean? There's authors that do, because Nini Capri, she's a traveler, you know. And as for readers, Kiana Drennan, girl, that child get on a plane in a minute to meet an author, you know. She will, Candy. I mean, she is like, every time I see that sister on another plane, like,
I wish I had the money and the time to do that. That sounds so cool.
She is, and I always pick her up, though, because when I see her Facebook page, you're like, oh, gosh, Kiana, you just be everywhere. There's an author. Did Kiana, you know? And that's hard, because we all know the expensive traveling and the dedication. Forget that. Let's forget the money part. The dedication behind a reader, making it their business to support their favorite authors is a big deal. You know what I mean? Our turnout are not as, I don't care who you are, because I've been to, I've covered magazine-wise, Urban Grapevine Magazine has covered Afian Jacquez's event, after the Harlem Book Fair year before last, Quan, and they're very popular.
Yeah.
And they have dedicated readers. You understand? And you still go and you say, gosh, you would think more readers would be here. You know what I mean? It's really hard to get to fill up a room with readers. You can get your homegirl that writes too. She'll show up because she, you know, we kind of want the same for ourselves. So of course I'm gonna, my friend, you wrote a book, I'm gonna be there. You know what I mean? And when I have my little release, I hope you bring a friend or two too. You know what I mean? But it's really hard to get readers out. So when you have events, do you have events at any libraries down there in Mississippi?
I actually haven't. I've tried with a couple, but I didn't really get in. So as far as, like, next year, my publisher is actually talking about doing some kinds of different fundraising so that we could actually, so that our company, publishing company, could actually do a book tour, like with all of us from Pink Kiss and going around, I guess pretty much like traveling different places all over the United States, like where everybody, because we, she's actually in Goshen, Mississippi, which is like the next town over from Pascagoula. So she's down here. My publisher, Glenda Wallace, she's in Goshen, Mississippi.
Goshen. Oh, that's how you say that. Okay, go share. Okay, go share. I see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, but like Gautier, it's good shape.
It does look like, yes.
Yeah, but yeah, she lives over there, and we've got like people that write on for the publishing company like everywhere, like up north, out west. So she kind of wanted to start fundraisers so that we could do like a tour and get around to like everybody, where everybody stays and other different places and whatnot, and get our publishing company, get us out there.
It's growing. I've noticed a lot of additions to Pink Kiss, Charlene Williams. She has a book coming soon from Pink Kiss Publishing Company. It's called Professional Aphrodisiac. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're definitely growing. So that's why she wants to, she says, our publisher, Glenda Wallace, she says she's actually been busy and pretty much had to hire more people, so she doesn't really have a whole lot of time to do a whole lot of stuff, like as far as promoting us on social media and whatnot.
Right.
And
right. How hard is that for you when you work full time to also get that going as far as promoting on social media and dropping links? And I know that's got to be really hard for an author. So what side kind of gig do you do to get Concrete Rain and Tangled Web out to the social media?
Every time I get a break, sending different links and stuff, like the written interviews that they do online, like they have different websites, I guess, where you could do written interviews and you could put them on, you can post those links that you did those interviews so people could come and look at them, like Mitchie's Reviews. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I did an interview with her that she has questions on her website that are, it's a pretty extended interview. You can, she'll post like, I think she has probably about 50 questions, and she says she could post about, I think, 25 of them. 25 of them. Say that again. Mitchie. M-I-C-H-Y-S. Mitchie's Reviews. Yeah, she has those interviews. She has a bunch of pretty good questions on there, and I think it's between 20 and 25 of them that she'll actually post in the interview. When she does that, you could post the link on your social media, and people can go and look at the interview. And there's
cool.
Book Gang or something like that. There's a bunch of different sites that do interviews. Like they're not really as extensive of interviews as Mitchie's Reviews, but they ask you about 6 or 7 questions and you can do it like that. I do a whole lot of that, and I post those links on my social media. I have set up the weekend after Thanksgiving weekend. I'm actually going to the Mobile flea market to sell my books. And
okay.
I made up a little flyer type thing, and I posted that on social media.
Okay.
And I made a little flyer thing on I guess it's called PZap, whatever you call that,
yeah.
Where you can
yeah,
make those pictures
yeah.
and whatnot.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so I did right. that, and then I'm in a bunch of groups on the Facebook, like the book
right.
club groups and stuff. I go
yeah.
and I post the links, like in all those groups, every time that I could slip away at work and I get a break for about 5 or so minutes. I go to posting those links and those pictures and stuff over to the different groups.
Do you find it hard to be literary active on your page where you're not saturating your friends with promo? Is it hard to sell to your own friends? Or is it easier for you to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that on my page, because I know a lot of people that don't. I'm going to go where I know the readers are. Which did you find to be easier?
Well, I had 2 separate pages. I had a personal page and an author page, but that got to be too much for me. So now I just have an author page, and you know, I have some personal friends that just aren't into it at all. You know, I deal with them on whatever level that they're on. But I do all of my promotions on the page, and my personal friends and my reader friends and everybody. I've made more friends that I know through social media. Some of them readers, some of them not. They know that's what I do on there. So nobody really, you know, says anything to me about that. They know that's my passion. They know that's what I do.
Right. That's good. Because, you know, sometimes it can get hard to post your, you know, your own products on your own page. Like, your own page. If people will complain to you, like, girl, I'm tired of seeing your flyers. Like, well, you know that's what I do for a living, right? You know? I was just wondering, is it more acceptable or is it easier for you to utilize the groups more so than your own page? We did a write-up on using social media to, bring your book or your product or whatever it is that you do more shine. And we found that there's certain times of the day that Facebook is more seller friendly. Is there a certain part of the day that you say, you know, I have to get this in because I know that it's going to reach, you know, a certain amount of people? At that time, do you calculate your drops, or are you just saying, girl, I get in where I fit in, you know?
Pretty much right now, I'm just getting in where I fit in. I mean, there is times that I get more media attention. I haven't actually calculated it out yet. I think it's different times. Like some Saturdays, I get a whole lot of attention. Some Saturdays I get none. I don't know what it is. But one of the things that I did find that people get aggravated about, and you know, understandably, is when you tag them in stuff and it comes up on their wall. That's the only thing I've really noticed that people get aggravated about. Some people don't want to be tagged in the advertising.
It's like a home invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand, too, even though I still do it. I do understand that. I know, right? Like, honey, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, that's really funny, kid. And it's true. We do still do it. Like, and it, I mean, you almost want to say, come on, guys. This is not me, you know, posting a whole bunch of stupid videos. You know, they love those, you know.
People make memes, they do.
You know, because I be mad sometimes. Like, I put something up there, and I'm like, what? 11 likes? What kind of foolery? You know, and then I'll share some old stupid video or something, and I have 100 likes. You'd be like, are you serious?
Yeah, that's what people are into nowadays. I noticed that.
Oh, it's almost like a smack in the face. You'd be like, really? I'm doing all this over here, and that's what y'all, I got 11 likes, but you got some fool up there for 22 seconds, and you got 100 likes behind it.
That's what people are into. I noticed that some people post those little videos all day long.
Yes, that's why I'm doing an article now I write for the Urban Release as well, and it's a urban, contemporary urban magazine. It goes into print and it's digital. And everybody, we had a meeting and everybody was kind of throwing in, you know, concept of what you want to do for the next magazine. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do an article on YouTubers. Mm-hmm. My daughter has a friend. She is hilarious. She's so honest. It's hilarious. And she was just doing it for fun, like on a Snapchat, you know? And her numbers were climbing, like 1,500 views, you know, 2,000 views. And it's crazy how people gain stardom. I ain't talking about somebody who just got a million likes on a cute little video, like the little boy that we like talking to us. Listen, Linda, listen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Emmanuel Hudson, how he was doing the little girlfriend. He do his twists his lips up. He's got mid-shoulder length dreads, and he was doing these little skits with his friend, or I think it's his cousin, in the car. He's on Wildin' Out now.
With
Nick Cannon. And then you got, like, Justin Bieber. He was singing on YouTube. He was literally doing many little videos, singing on YouTube, and people asking people to send requests for songs that he would sing them.
Hmm.
And you see where he at, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's crazy that people who were once readers are so audio-visual now that the money is in. We want it right now, instant gratification, don't have to read. You know what I mean? That sitting and watching videos is really making people rich. Like, he's rich behind singing a cappella on a YouTube. You know what I mean? I'm really starting to wonder, where's the come up for the creative writer? Where's the outlet for us?
That's why I just try to do, like, everything that I can find. I try to research different stuff, all the little written interviews, and I'll try to do, like, the call-in interviews like we're doing now. I'll try to do that and go to book festivals. articles, and I just try to use, like, any outlet that I can to get my name out there and whatnot.
Yeah, I get a lot of inquiries. People inbox me, like, all day long, and, you know, and they ask for advice, and they say, you know, people want to tell you anything. And I'm like, they're like, Deb, you sure do share a lot. And I'm like, sharing is caring, and, you know, sharing is free. Now, if you ask me to do
yeah, it is.
People need to, these authors, even readers, speak up, because we need to know, too, from you guys. You know, we need to know what works. And, honey, you could do that all day, and I'm still not buying your book. You know what I mean? More feedback.
Yeah, I like to, you know, share with people and let them know. And even sometimes, you know, I don't care if anybody tags me in their whatever they
right.
have and put it on my page.
Right.
And, you know, just like some people, you know, they just might not want my book, but they might want exactly what this other person is writing or doing, might be exactly what they're looking for.
Right, right.
So,
and
I mean,
that's selfless. It's when you become selfless that your blessings get recycled again for you. You know what I mean? If
right.
you don't back and say, hey, pull somebody forward, people are so scared that when you reach back and pull somebody forward that they're going to yank them ahead of them. You understand? So then
yeah.
it's a bother to reach back. But it has to be, there has to be some kind of medium where authors speak up. That's why I started the magazine, too, and why I started splitting the covers between one author and one reader, because I think readers need a voice, and authors want them to have a voice. You know, people think we don't. And that we get frustrated with readers. But I guess when you've got a craft that you consider your baby, you know what I mean? Of course we're going to touch. It don't matter if you're a reader or a janitor. You know what I mean? We're talking about my book, you know what I mean? So we do want authors to have a voice. And that's why, like I said, I did create a cover for readers and a cover for authors, just so they both could hear each other. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that when you drop your third book, that it's a success, and we would love to have you come back, because you know every time we schedule you for something, I don't know. So I know today's a blessing, and I'm really truly hoping that you are you forego with many more blessings, and we would love to have you back, and we would love to also offer an interview for Urban Grapevine Magazine's next drop, which
okay.
will be in May. So I will be contacting you through email sometime this week in regards
okay.
to that, and I'd like to thank you for coming out, and
thank
I never
you.
Stop on time. We are at 6:15 on the show right now, but that's cool. And I would really like for you to tell everybody right now where to find Concrete Rose and Tango Web, and to assure them that you will be combining those two books in the next write. And she is, though. I'm telling you, I'm going to be honored. Just let our readers know where they can find your stuff and where they could even get to know you more beyond interview, because we learn a lot through each other on our own just regular Facebook pages, personality and everything. So hit the readers right now and let them know your social network footprints.
Okay. Well, the book in print can be bought on www.pinkkisspublishing.com/candyrain. And with the Candy Rain, the C in Candy is capital and the R in Rain is capital on the
okay.
website. Okay, and they're
okay.
both also available on Kindle. And on my Facebook page, It's under Candy Rain Author. I pretty much post pretty much everything about me. Like, I mean, everything that there is to me at this point. Trying to do everything positive with my life. So I post a lot of it. I'm into fitness. I ran a 5K today. I put that on there.
You ran a what?
A 5K run.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, in Mobile, Alabama. And it's up there on Facebook, all that stuff. I came in first place female. And I came in at, I think it was 28 minutes and 55 seconds or something like that, something similar to that. But, yeah, but I got a little cute star award, and it says, the run was called Get Your Rear in Gear, and it says 2015 Top Female Finisher. So, yeah, I into things like that.
Congratulations.
And
thank
you.
Wow.
Fitness is really important to me because it's
a long journey in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets rough once you're if your health declines, it gets rough. So I'm really into fitness. As well as my writing. So my social network page is pretty much about my fitness, my writing, and networking. Different interviews. I have a liked page that's also called Candy Rain Author. And on my liked page, I actually only put author stuff on there. So if there's anybody that's only interested in the author aspect, then go to my liked page. My friend page is, I think I'm at the capacity of 5,000 now, but you can follow it. The page can be followed, and if anybody follows me, I'll follow them back.
Okay.
So you can keep in touch. Yeah, I meet different friends over social media all the time, and I have actually quite a few friends that really pretty close friends that I've only met through social media. Like two of my very best friends I met on social media.
Yeah, I married my partner on social from social media, so I know what you're saying, girl.
What
you're saying.
Yeah, a lot of people say that social media, oh, they're not your real friends, blah, blah, blah. Some of those people are some of the best people, some of the truest friends I've met on social media.
Yeah, I'm seconding that one. But
yeah.
We're going to close out the show tonight, and we're going to thank Candy Rain for showing up and showing out. You can catch, like you said, on Amazon, and her titles are Concrete Rose and Tangled Web, and she's keep an eye out on Pink Kiss Publishing because she'll be dropping another one soon. Thank you for coming out, Candy, and God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Tonight, you guys, we had a really lovely show featuring Miss Candy Bang, and her creative mind is awesome. And I really was serious about blending that book together. And everybody who knows my little marketing mind knows that I'm going to be on Candy about that, blending that book. And we're hoping that she's going to come on over to Urban Grapevine Media Publishing and Publicity and pick up a package of publicity so we can get her old works and new works pumping. We are currently at capacity and publicity, and we are not taking on any clients, I think up until, if I am right, September. We won't have any time slots until September. or going close into the new year. But we do offer single packages on our website, www.urbangrapevinemag.com, and you can go in the tabs and click on price publicity application, and if you a sub tab will come up called price with the price list, and it will show our a la carte publicity services, and they range anywhere from it looks like $30 on up to book tour packages that we'll be offering in September for $175. Right now, we are focusing on advertising our intro package for printed promo packs and the digital designs for print material. We leave a lasting impression, and we can lead to future sales. Promotional items left on park benches, public transportation, or any establishment where there is a waiting time is the best target to leave your promo. What are you leaving for a tap on the consumer's shoulders that you have a product for sale? What is it that you're doing? Because there are so many easy does it ways out here, and you will need the right promotional material, promo paraphernalia, reading material, postcards with catchy phrases, pictures, bookmarks, and just about anything you can put a little information on to be used for promotional items. Let's talk Urban Grapevine Media Publishing and Publicity. Design your promotional items, and we will even customize an item for you. For $100, you can get 25 sneak peek booklet samples, 10-page booklets. For $150, you can get 1,000 bookmarks or business cards and 1,000 postcards for $150. We also have a package called Coming Soon Book Tour, and like I said, that should happen somewhere in September. And with that, get your mind right, guys, because it's a lot going on in this package. And it's great for the new author, the unexposed author, because we're going to offer a Coming Soon trailer, 60 seconds, a social media exposure, one blog write-up, customized banner, customized profile pic, a seven-day campaign with contests, two reviews, who to watch article on the website, five questions with authors in our magazine, one blog talk radio show, a newsletter with an audio clip, somewhat like a shout-out, also a one e-reader giveaway, and an email blast to 100 readers. And you cannot beat that. I don't know where you're getting that for $175. But that'll be coming in September. It's going to be our New Beginnings package. I have an announcement that I'm going to be making on April 1st in regards to Urban Grapevine Magazine. We also have a three-month shout-out. It's $33, and we'll do three email blasts with the newsletter designed to be sent out for 3 months. Three postcard ad designs with or without audio. Three commercial shout-outs on three of our Blog Talk radio shows. Three blog posts. You are never, ever, 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 ever getting that anywhere for $33. We're also doing one-page websites for the new author that doesn't has yet to have a website built and can't afford these heavy-duty prices that are out here. We are author-friendly. We are author budget-friendly. And these one-page websites are going to go for $75. It's a one-page website, and we'll have four outbound tabs, photos, a slideshow, and one PayPal buying link. And that right there, $75. We also have book signing packages. Now, you see all the book fairs are coming up. You're going to need this now. Stop playing. Jump on it. It's $85. Book signing packages will alleviate the stress of setting up at your signing. We will customize that book signing decor that wraps around the theme of your book or topic discussion. First impressions are everything, and you guys have to know that. What people see is everything. How you present yourself at a signing is everything. You know, people will walk past your little rinky-dink table when it don't look good. And I don't care if you are a best-selling author and people know your face. Yeah, they might have some conversation with you, but that's about it. They ain't paying attention to that table until you invest in it. You know what I mean? You invest in it, it will invest in you. So, like I said, first impressions are everything. And competition to gain the wandering eye at book fairs is a must. It's very hard, but it's a must. And with this $85 package, you're going to get three book display holders, a plain tablecloth, plain colored tablecloth, instructional setup, contest gift, literary or theme-related, some flyers, event page with relative invites, pre-signing autograph book purchases, links to, for supporters who can't make it out, personal digital invites sent to book clubs and avid readers in your area. We will offer, or we will soon offer rental props for your book signings coming in 2016. Join our newsletter to receive updates on its progress. You can put that link on www.urbangrapevinemagazine.com, and I'd like to say good night.